जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी
Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, Dhruva Maharaj's anger subsided, and he completely ceased killing yakshas. When Kuvera, the most blessed master of the treasury, learned this news, he appeared before Dhruva. While being worshipped by yakshas, kinaras, and charanas, he spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, who stood before him with folded hands. The master of the treasury, Kuvera, said, 'The son of a Kshatriya, I am very glad to know that under the instruction of your grandfather, you have given up your enmity, although it is very difficult to avoid. I am very pleased with you. Actually, you have not killed the yakshas, nor have they killed your brother. For the ultimate cause of generation and annihilation is the eternal time feature of the Supreme Lord. Misidentification of oneself and others as I and you on the basis of the bodily concept of life is a product of ignorance. This bodily concept is the cause of repeated birth and death, and it makes us go on continuously in material existence. My dear Dhruva, come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune.' The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond our sensory perception, is the Supersoul of all living entities, and thus all entities are one without distinction. Begin, therefore, to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Engage yourself fully, therefore, in the devotional service of the Lord, for only He can deliver us from this entanglement of materialistic existence. Although the Lord is attached to His material potency, He is aloof from her activities. Everything in this material world is happening by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Dhruva Maharaj, son of Maharaj Uttanapad, we have heard that you are constantly engaged in transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known for His lotus navel. You are therefore worthy to take all benedictions from us. Please, therefore, ask without hesitation whatever benediction you want from me." My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksharaj, or King of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, that most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. The son of Idavida, Lord Kuvera, was very pleased, and happily he gave Dhruva Maharaj the benediction he wanted. Thereafter, he disappeared from Dhruva's presence, and Dhruva Maharaj returned to his capital city. As long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions. Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service unto the Supreme, the reservoir of everything, with unrelenting force. While carrying out his devotional service to the Lord, he could see that everything is situated in him only, and that he is situated in all living entities. The Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his prime duty to give protection to his devotees. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and very kind to the poor and innocent, and he protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens. Dhruva Maharaj ruled over this planet for 36,000 years. He diminished the reactions of pious activities by enjoyment, and by practicing austerities, he diminished inauspicious reactions. The self-controlled great soul Dhruva Maharaj thus passed many, many years favorably, executing three kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. Thereafter, he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son. Srila Dhruva Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is a creation of the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj, at the end, left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bounded by the great oceans. He considered his body, his wives, his children, his friends, his army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palaces, and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be creations of the illusory energy. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas known as Badarik Ashram. In Badarik Ashram, Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified because he bathed regularly in the crystal clear purified water. He fixed his sitting position and by yogic practice controlled the breathing process and the air of life. In this way, his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord, and, thus meditating upon him, entered into complete trance. Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes. His heart melted, and there was shivering and standing of the hairs all over his body. Thus transformed, in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage. As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky, as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions. Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of Lord Vishnu in the plain. They had four hands and a blackish bodily luster. They were very youthful and their eyes were just like red-dish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands, and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets, and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets, and earrings. Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that these unpersonalities were direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately stood up. But being puzzled, in hastiness he forgot how to receive them in the proper way. Therefore he simply offered obeisances with folded hands, and chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was always absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. His heart was full with Krishna. When the two confidential servants of the Supreme Lord, who were named Nanda and Sunanda, approached him, smiling happily, Dhruva stood with folded hands, bowing humbly. They then addressed him as follows. Nanda and Sunanda, the two confidential associates of Lord Vishnu, said, "Dear King, let there be all good fortune unto you. Please attentively hear what we shall say. When you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerities, and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the whole universe, who carries in his hand the bow named Sharanga. We have been specifically deputed to take you to the spiritual world. To achieve Vishnu Loka is very difficult, but by your austerity you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu planet, the sun and moon, and all the other planets, stars, lunar mansions, and solar systems are circumambulating it. You are well to go there. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. O immortal one, this unique airplane has been sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by selected prayers, and who is the chief of all living entities. You are quite worthy to board such a plane. Maharaj Dhruva was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord's chief associates in the Vaikuntha planet, he immediately took his sacred bath, dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisances to the great sages present there and accepted their blessings. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him. Not caring for death, however, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of death, and thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as a house. At that time, drums and kettle drums resounded from the sky. The chief Gandharvas began to sing, and other demigods showered flowers like torrents of rain upon Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start, when he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, "How shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother?" The great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they showed him that his mother Suniti was going forward in another plane. While Dhruva Maharaj was passing through space, he gradually saw all the planets of the solar system, and on the path he saw all the demigods in their airplanes shower flowers upon him like rain. Dhruva Maharaj thus surpassed the seven planetary systems of the great sages, who are known as Saptarshi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. Persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed, and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. In this way, the fully Krishna-conscious Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapad, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. My dear Vidura, descendant of Kuru, as a herd of bulls circumambulates a central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universal sky unceasingly circumambulate the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed. After observing the glories of Dhruva Maharaj, the great sage nodded, playing his veena, went to the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas, and very happily chanted the following three verses. The great sage nodded and said,
"Simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who is devoted to her husband, acquired an exalted position not possible to attain even for the so-called Vedantists or strict followers of the Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings. Just see how Dhruva Maharaj, aggrieved at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years, and under my direction underwent austerity. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees. Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years, after undergoing austerity for 6 months. Alas, a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerities for many, many years."
My dear Vidura, whatever you have asked for me about the great reputation and character of Dhruva Maharaj, I have explained to you in all detail. Great saintly persons and devotees very much like to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, and increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to a heavenly planet or attain Dhruva Loka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj just by hearing about him. The demigods also become pleased because this narration is so glorious and it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Anyone who hears the narration of Dhruva Maharaj and who repeatedly tries with faith and devotion to understand his pure character attains the pure devotional platform and executes pure devotional service. By such activities, one can diminish the threefold miserable conditions of material life. Anyone who hears this narration of Dhruva Maharaj acquires exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess, or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them. And for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper means. One should chant of the character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj, both in the morning and in the evening, with great attention and care in a society of Brahmins or other twice-born persons. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadashi, on the appearance of the Shravana star, at the end of a particular titi, or the occasion of Vyatipata, at the end of the month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should, of course, be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed in this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. The narration of Dhruva Maharaj is sufficient for the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. Those who, out of transcendental kindness, take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities, automatically gain the interest and blessings of the demigods. The transcendental activities of Dhruva Maharaj are well known all over the world, and they are very pure. In childhood, Dhruva Maharaj rejected all kinds of toys and playthings, left the protection of his mother, and seriously took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. My dear Vidura, I therefore conclude this narration, for I have described to you all its details.
Thus ends the 12th chapter of the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead.